You are listening to the what?
TryGames.net
podcast.
It's a podcast.
Episode 49.
A podcast.
49.
Podcast. Somebody shoot that dying dog.
Ethan is supposed to be with us today, but he's an asshole who didn't test his mic before coming on. Mm-hmm. And instead of waiting for him, Al, you want to sing it?
Huh?
We don't want to wait for him, so we're moving ahead. And he'll join us in like an hour.
Yeah, because we don't want to wait for our lives to be over.
I don't want to wait.
We just want to know right now what
I look like Xena.
What?
Doesn't she look like Xena, Warrior Princess?
I don't know.
I don't know. But Al, what are you playing?
I'm playing. I played some Dragon's Curse this week. That's that Wonder Boy game that doesn't say Wonder Boy in it.
The TurboGrafx one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I can't pass this one part because they make me this like small guy who can't take a hit, and they put me up against a whole bunch of enemies who can kill me in two hits. What the hell? I mean, I guess that's called challenge.
No, it's called cheap.
No.
It's called Al Sucks.
But it's just that I was doing all right, and then one of them just snuck up on me and said, blah, and I said, blah, and I died, and that's when I stopped playing.
Sounds pretty cheap.
Snucked it up upon. And then I was playing some, you know, Pokemon stuff. I'm almost finished. Sort of. I got 7 badges now. 110 hours into the game.
Pika! Pika, Pika!
Wabole!
Pika! And,
somebody shoot that dying Pikachu. I've been playing Pokemon Colosseum because I need to finish that so I can import Pokemon from Gold, Silver, Crystal. That, of course, you can't because it's a Game Boy game, not Game Boy Advance. So pretty much it's all things Pokemon at this point. And some Dragon Curse. And I think I played some Ninja Gaiden and still can't pass that boss.
Tony, what are you playing?
I'm playing CNC 3.
How far into it are you?
This is the first time that I've played missions on any RTS ever. I mean, like, it's so much fun. I'm actually playing the missions.
Do you usually just, like,
skirmish? Skirmish all the time. Okay. You know? I'll get into that in a second, but I'm actually playing the missions. That's how much fun this game is to me. And, oh, wow, I can't say enough. This game really blows me away. Most people would say Company of Heroes is better than this and stuff like that. Yeah, in some aspects, there's more of a challenge in Company of Heroes. But this, to me, blows Company of Heroes away. And I'm surprised that it got, like, only an 8.5 as a rating.
From who?
From Game Informer, okay?
Well, and Game Informer is a shit, but go ahead.
Of course, but they gave Company of Heroes a 9.5. You know, I mean, like, what's the disparity there? Why? Because it's like, because you could steal people's weapons away and you got to use strategy to flank your opposition and stuff.
Maybe.
Okay, I'll give you that, but, you know, if I want to just go into a game where it's just all out fucking torture on both ends, you know, and, you know, just get into the middle of shit and fucking blow things up, this is the game. So mm-hmm. I'm playing the missions. I'm in Act 2, GDI, and then I played skirmish on fucking brutal setting, and steamroller. Okay, because they got different options. Okay, mm-hmm. you could have
steamroller.
Yeah, you could have
we can guess what happened
it,
there.
The computer could do a balanced attack. It could do like all these different options, but I chose steamroller. And guess what? 16 minutes in a game, I was decimated because the computer had, at that point, made 300-something enemies. And it was just a non-stop. Yeah, non-stop wave. I've never seen anything like it. It's so amazing. My game didn't even slow up, but there were just hundreds of people just coming on my base, trying to get past my defenses that I said. Listen.
That splurge.
Like, that doesn't sound too
listen,
nice.
Listen, you. Get your mind out of the gutter and listen to what I have to say.
Listen, I am listening to what you had to say.
Ethan, what are you playing? Oh, that's right. You're fixing your goddamn computer, you bitch.
Ethan, you
suck. I'm playing Fix My Computer because I don't know how to test. I'm so busy with Conference 3.0.
Conference. Go ahead, Tony.
Huh?
What else you been playing?
Yeah,
what else
so anyway, that's pretty much it. I haven't played anything else. Oh, wait, I did. And this is going to be a dirty little secret, guys.
Mm-mm.
I'm playing Phantasy Star 2 only because, and this is really, really tragic, I've never passed the game.
Okay.
Don't worry, that game is hard.
That's not tragic.
I actually managed to pass it only on Game Boy Advance, which
really?
Means it's basically around in like 2002, 2003.
Oh, I didn't even know it came out on Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, it came out on a 1, 2, and 3 compilation called Phantasy Star Collection. And
oh.
One had a bug where it would crash every so often when you tried to save. 2
okay.
was fine, and 3 sucked,
yeah,
as
well,
usual.
It was 3, yeah.
And
I don't know why
I
they wouldn't
some...
put out 4.
Yeah, 4 is like an amazing game.
I think
game.
They didn't put out
amazing.
4, probably due to either licensing space or contractual issues. Because it would have fit just fine, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
But the last thing is, I was in the middle of Phantasy Star 3, and I went to save, and my battery was dying, and my battery died in the middle of the save. The worst place ever. I was like, please don't die, please don't die, please don't die. I was playing, and I was like, okay, I'm going to save right here. Died. I said, oh, my God.
Which generation were you on?
I was in the third generation.
Third generation?
Yeah, so you can tell that I didn't start playing it again.
Yeah, that sucks. That's a shame. Yeah, I didn't beat this game. This game is kind of, like, really cheap. Even though I got my people, like, the top level is 50, and I got my guys up to level 48, and they're still getting their asses handed to them. So,
boom! Boom! Boom!
Where are you?
Yeah. Listen, I'm doing this for you, because you seem to be all gay today.
Oh, wait. Where are you in the game?
Right now, I'm in Dezo. Let's see. This fortress with fucking sword guys, and they're just killing my ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're like nowhere near the end of the game. You haven't even found the pieces of Ney.
Oh, no.
Oh my God, that's gonna be like the longest 10 hours you've ever had.
This game already took me a week. It's fucking ridiculous, this game.
Yeah,
but anyway,
it is.
That's pretty much it. That's what I'm playing. Austin, what are you playing?
Ethan, what are you playing?
Ethan!
I'm an idiot.
Ethan's playing, I'm going to reboot my computer and install a hard drive, coach. It's a fun game.
He is taking the time to install a sound card into his machine because his mic doesn't work. So he has his extra sound card lying around, and he tells me it's going to take me 10 minutes. That was 15 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
I like playing install.
Install 3.8.5.1.
Anyway, me, what am I playing? Let's see. I think it's been like kind of an RTS binge for me since I don't usually play them.
Wow, that's impressive.
Well, I went out and bought Rise of Nations for $5.
Yeah.
Because somehow that game is now $5 because nobody likes PC games, which I want to smack people for. But anyway, I got that for $5, and then I was out yesterday, I believe, and I picked up StarCraft Battle Chess for $10.
Yay. Mm-hmm.
That was lying in a bargain bin in GameStop, and I'm like, how could they do that to this game? But I'm like, all right, well, save me money. I didn't start... Huh?
I think it was always $10, like, at this point.
I thought it was $20.
I think
well,
it's...
Well, dude, it's old. I mean, it's really
yeah,
old.
I think that would be a waste of money. I think Diablo is newer, Diablo 2. Well, 1,
yeah.
2, and expansion.
And that's like
three games, and that's $20.
Yeah. How much?
Okay, that's 20.
That's 20. Well, yeah. I'm looking at one of our news pieces that we're going to talk about really quickly, and it said that StarCraft Battle Chess was going for $19.
Really?
Wow, that's messed up. That's a ripoff.
So,
it is for two games. When you get three games for $20,
I guess.
All right, keep
it's
going.
Still
with
a great
though
RTS.
You consider the quality of the game, though, maybe
yeah,
some people don't think it's a ripoff.
It's great RTS.
So I don't know. Anyway, so I didn't get to play that, but I've been wetting my feet in Rise of Nations, and God, do I suck at real-time strategy games. I really fucking suck at those, because like it took me maybe 3 or 4 tries to beat this one map. And it's early on in the game, but they have this mode called Conquer the World, which is basically your quote-unquote mission thing, I guess. It replaces what the story mode would be in, like, Warcraft or StarCraft or Command & Conquer.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically is similar to Civilization.
Okay.
Very, very slightly. I would liken it more to I don't know if you guys ever played Shogun Total War or Rome Total War or something, but yeah, they have sections where you have to like move your armies around the map, the world map, and like take territories and all that stuff. So it takes that aspect of it and it combines it with regular RTS. So like I moved my piece onto Persia, where the dirty Koreans were sitting, and I'm the dirty Japanese.
Everybody's dirty.
Why yeah. gotta be dirty?
Because we're all dirty. The dirty Japanese are fighting the dirty Koreans on the dirty Persian map.
Dirty Japanese. I think I'm dirty Japanese. I really think so.
And I don't think they had any dirty Americans in this game yet, but maybe they come later. But anyway, so like I moved
damn
my piece.
Damn dirty apes. Yeah. Sorry.
And you know, I'm just playing and building up my army and building up my army mm-hmm. and like building different cities, and like I move up the map and like I see this one city, I'm like, okay, I'm going to raise the shit out of this city. Halfway into my raising, like a fucking colony of ants. No, a fire ants. Like you described the 300 dudes coming out in Command & Conquer. Mm-hmm. Those guys just wailed on me. And I had like, I don't know, like 100 units raised in this building. And right. they pump out like 7 million. And I'm like, obviously I did something wrong there. Mm-hmm. And so I tried it again. And I tried to go at it from a different angle. And I got killed again. But I'm like, well, I went at it through one angle, and I've got my army sitting. I got another army sitting to the right, so let me just do a pincer attack. They stopped the right part of the pincer before it ever got there.
Damn.
And the left side was like flailing while it was trying to raise and defend itself at the same time. And so finally, yeah, what somebody, the fuck was that?
Somebody's calling
this
me.
Cell cell phone.
Who's fucking calling me?
Probably
I'm doing
Ethan.
Podcast. Hope they hear me.
That's a pretty gay ass ring. But anyways,
it's awesome.
It's awesome.
And then I finally
don't talk about gay. Please.
Why not?
Because Al you just fall did into what? That.
What?
Why is Al?
Why you gotta put this shit on me?
All right, go on.
I think that's it. No, but it's a really cool game. And it's, I mean, it's probably not the best game for me to start out with, since I'm such a terrible RTS player. But right. I like how they combine the elements of like diplomacy and actual strategy. I like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I recall when I started playing Empire Earth mm-hmm. and a little bit of Age of Empires, like you had to build houses
yeah.
in your town
yeah.
to like increase it. You don't have to do that here.
Okay.
So it kind of eliminates a little bit of the annoyance of, like, you know, keeping
increasing
shit up.
The population, yeah.
Yeah, like, you increase your... There are, like, a whole ton of shit that you have to research. It's, mm-hmm. like, civics, commerce...
Right.
Military, science, and I think there's, like, one or two more things. What'd I say? Commerce, civics, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of shit, and that's how you increase your population limit. You research military,
right?
So you don't have to build houses, and it's just, you know, I don't want to say it's easy, because again, I said it's not the ideal game for someone who's a newbie,
right?
But like, it gets rid of some of those things. Oh yeah, and then like, if you select a whole bunch of units that are clumped together,
mm-hmm.
it'll always default to combat units. So if you've got like peasants walking around
right.
a whole bunch of armies. And you want to like attack, and you want to select like 90,000 army units and send them in, and your peasants are walking in the way, you won't select the peasants. So that's good for someone who, like me, who's just like all over the place,
mm-hmm.
who doesn't know how to play these things. Because
yeah, it's pretty helpful.
Yeah, in like Warcraft 2, when I used to play that, I'd always be selecting like peons by accident when mm-hmm. I didn't want to. So it'd be like, no peon. Okay, fine, peon rush, and they all die.
Did you actually like the Warcraft games?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I am an RTS newbie, so I would probably like them. I heard, because those are like the easy ones. Well, Warcraft 2 at least was yeah. easy for me to get into.
And you bought CNC 3, right?
Yeah.
You've yet to open that.
I actually put it in for the first time last Sunday. I played through two GDI missions, and I've got to get used to the whole garrisoning thing.
Okay.
Because like I put them in the building and then I forget to take them out, and so like my guys are getting slaughtered, and I'm like, I swear to God I had more guys in this. And then I look at three buildings that are way in the beginning of the map. I'm like, oh, that's where they are.
Yeah, they're in the building playing like PS2.
Yeah, and then I take them out, and I'm like, well, shit, I guess I better restart. But yeah, they're very different. Like so far, it looks like Command & Conquer is more like and maybe this isn't news, but like for me, someone who hasn't been paying attention to RTS, it's like Command & Conquer is the action game of RTS.
Yes.
And something like Rise of Nations, and I would say Company of Heroes, from what I've heard, is like the chess of RTS.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's, I would say that's probably why you like Command & Conquer better, because it's all like all out, balls out,
exactly.
Like kill
it's,
shit.
It's moronic. It's like, it's not brain candy at all. So, you know, you just get into it and... Yeah. Fuck shit up. You don't have to do all this strategy and stuff. Not that I don't mind a strategy. Don't get me wrong. I like that aspect of
because it is in the genre name.
Yeah,
real time strategy.
But you know, I like Company of Heroes. I do, but I just love this much more. And the graphics are just oh my god, they're unbelievable. So yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I think I would probably I would say that right now I'm liking Rise of Nations a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's more tactical.
I gotta check that game out then.
Yeah, which is really dumb because I'm so stupid that you would think that Command & Conquer is a better fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I like Rise of Nations better, even though I'm worse at it. So
it's okay.
Anyway, Ethan, what are you playing? Oh yeah, you're still not here.
I'm playing Install.
Oh, it's gonna take 10 minutes. That was 20 drivers. Minutes ago.
I gotta install my drivers.
That was 20 minutes ago. Anyway, we're going to move
I'm
on.
Jewish. Leave me alone, please. This is Frank Kissel.
This is Kissel.
Well, Uncle Freddy's dead.
Uncle Freddy's dead. Oh! Sorry, that was a little Drakey Boys comeback read. We'll be right back. And we're back with the news. Sorry. Back with the news. We're going to go through some topics quick and some topics not so quick. So, first of all, StarCraft back on the top 10 PC title selling list after the StarCraft 2 announcement. It is actually now in number 5.
Wow. Hmm. That's amazing.
And this is where I said it was $20, but number 1 is World of Warcraft. Number 2 is World of Warcraft Burning Crusade. Number 3 is Command & Conquer 3.
Yeah.
Number 4 is The Sims 2 Seasons Expansion Pack. And number 5 is StarCraft.
That's unfucking believable. That game is so old and dated, and yet it's just number 5. Wow. Yeah.
This is for the This is for the week of May 20th to May 26th. So that week it sold a lot. And then after that's Lord of the Rings Online, The Sims, Warcraft 3 and Battlefield 2142.
Warcraft 3 is a ripoff at $40.
Yeah,
I hate that game.
Well, it's a battle chest, so it has all the expansion stuff, but I guess because it's newer, they still think they can get away with it.
I guess.
Yeah.
Well, the StarCraft battle chest comes with the player's guide, you know, for both
and the expansion,
games.
Yeah. And I'm sure the Warcraft one has the same thing,
probably.
Too. So.
Yeah, it comes with Warcraft expansion and the player's guide.
Uh-oh. Now, what is it about Warcraft? What is it about the Warcraft games that you dislike? And Al, I know you like them, right? So what's the disparity? I was just curious.
I'll
let Tony go first.
Yeah. We both said the exact same thing.
Moving on to the next. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead, Tony.
Huh? No, Al first.
Okay,
right,
Al,
fine.
Go first.
Well, Warcraft and StarCraft are just two totally different games, mm-hmm. like brothers of like another cousin or something like that.
Fuck.
Well, I'm saying like what did you like about the Warcraft series? And I was just curious what you liked about it because Tony said he didn't like them, so I was just wondering what.
Well,
you know,
I like the environment, the whole medieval thing, and the the way the units interacted with each other. For at least Warcraft 1 and 2, 3 they changed it such that. It's squad-based as opposed to army-based.
Mm-hmm.
And that then defines the difference between Warcraft and StarCraft.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the squad-based combat of Warcraft 3, but it didn't really... It didn't stick on me, basically. So that's why I don't play Warcraft 3 as much as I would play StarCraft if I had the two put together right now in front of me. But with StarCraft... I like the incredible amount of balance and the incredible amount of thinking that you have to go through when you're attacking any of the three races, because you can bring up like a whole like swarm of one type of unit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't bring up support to cover what will destroy that unit, then you're going to come in there and be like, oh yeah, I'm whooping ass. And the next thing you know, your units just get wiped off the map by something that's stronger than it. That's something that's supposed to destroy it. And so, like, I like playing Zerg for that matter, because, like, I'll come up with Zerglings, right? Mm-hmm. And Zerglings are the basic unit. Usually, like in most RTS games, you have that basic unit that you only use for during the first 2 minutes of the game.
Right.
But in the end game, the Zerglings can be your most powerful asset if they're upgraded and everything, and then you start, like, breaking down the walls with the, with, like, the, I forget what they're called, the mutalists that evolve into the siege units.
Oh, God. And
people who know, you know.
Yeah.
They'll go and they'll, you know, bash down the missile turrets and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And after all of that, you send in, like, 100 Zerglings, and they'll just kill everybody. And that's just ultimate balance. You have that, and then you have, like, the Hydralisk covering the air units.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have this perfect balance of air, ground, and surface to air, and boom, you're like,
so you'd
be unstoppable.
You actually built a balanced, you know, army.
Oh yeah. And then when I play
real time strategy,
well, I go balls out. I just create one type of unit and wipe the fuck out of everybody.
Yeah, see, when you do that.
I want to see a game versus you and Al.
Oh, man.
You and Al.
Forget about it. It'll go on forever. You'll take Zergs. I'll take Protoss. It'll last forever.
Well, actually, if I play against people normally, it depends. I usually play Protoss. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
But if I want to get strategic, I play Zerg.
Okay.
I played a couple of games against my uncle a couple of weekends ago, and I whooped his he got mad at me because
Master Mike. Yeah. Master Mike.
He got mad at me because I was playing and I like beat him in. Well, I didn't beat him, but I just destroyed one of his troops because I was playing with Zerg, and he set up an expansion and I destroyed his troops by just fooling around and sent a couple of parasites with the queen so I could see what he was doing, and then I sent some mutalists in and destroyed all of his SCVs and then took over his command center.
Oh,
but
man,
this was
so
his expansion.
Build his units.
Yeah, no, but here's the thing. Right after that, he quit. And I was like, why? I wasn't going to touch you anymore. I was just going to fool around and get some suicide guys and, you know, do it that way. Then he was like, okay, I want to play against you, and the computer.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, fine. I started out. I killed the computer in 5 minutes.
Damn.
Because I just took two zealots, four zealots, and ran them over. I was looking, scouting out. And if I found his base, I was going to leave him alone.
Uh-huh.
But when I found a computer's base, I was going to just tear it up.
Mm-hmm.
So I tore it up. And then I made Dark Templar.
Mm-hmm.
And I slashed the shit out of his units because he was trying to make missile turrets. And I slashed the shit out of his SCV, and I slashed the shit out of his turret, and I slashed the shit out of his Marines that he tried to send. He couldn't even see me. And
well,
then
he's doing
he
it
quit.
Pussy! Oh, man.
So, back to the original question.
Terrans are the hardest ones
to
play, though.
Of what does Al like about Warcraft and what does Tony dislike about Warcraft? Tony, what do you dislike about Warcraft?
All right, get into Al's point. Yeah, it's all about, like, I guess, the, like a troop, like a, not like an army, but like a company, you know, just a limited amount of people that you could have on a team. So it's like, all righty, this is not really action-packed, you know? And, like, things that I was building just, like, sucked. I didn't like the game.
you might not like Rise of Nations then, because that's got a lot of setup to build up your troops and to build up your civilization.
No, I like that. Don't get me wrong. I love Empire Earth. I mean, Empire Earth was the best RTS in my was the best RTS that I've ever played, and I still hold it in high regards now. But, you know, there's something wrong with this game. I don't know how, you know, how to, like, justify or explain it. It just didn't click with me. And it never did. Any of the Warcraft series did not click with me. It didn't. Even though 3 was, like, revolutionary in its time, the graphics were amazing, everything was rendered, you know, and there was, like, experience that your troops would get and stuff like that, did not vibe with me at all. And, you know, I'll take Empire Earth over any Warcraft game.
All right, so moving on for the Warcraft thing. Fear sequel. That one way too long. I'm sorry for sidetracking. Fear sequel coming. We get to name it. Okay?
All right.
Great.
I give this a thumbs neutral.
That is the stupidest. I don't think. I really hope that this is just like a marketing ploy, because if they actually let people name it, they'll be like, yo, make it like scare.
I'm going to call it Ra-F.
Ra-F?
Ra-F.
Yeah, that's for your backwards.
Well, let's at least say why the name has to change.
Uh-huh.
It's because the company, the publisher, owns the name, and the developers want to make a sequel, and they can't use the name.
Fucking Vendi. Fuck Vendi. Oh, God. I guess so. But I hope. Why can't they just come up with their own fucking name?
Because they're lazy. It's like designing a game without having to design it. Heavenly Sword.
I'm going to call it Fluffy Puppy.
Fluffy Puppy. FP. Yeah. Moving on. Rockstar confirms that there will be no Grand Theft Auto 4 delay. That's a little bit of what we discussed last week.
Last week, yeah.
But let's see. Rockstar has confirmed the game's still on track for an October release. Halo 3 or no Halo 3?
Yeah, like I was saying, they don't care. Yeah. I give this one a thumbs up.
The Kotaku article says GTA 4 bows to no man, Master Chief or not. Moving on. No Ninja Gaiden Sigma for 360. That's to be expected, because I think Itagaki pretty much made it clear that Sigma was only because PlayStation gamers never got to experience Ninja Gaiden. So he's like, you know what? Let's put it on PS3.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, Xbox owners already have Ninja Gaiden and Ninja Gaiden Black, and I'm sure they're going to get Ninja Gaiden 2, so whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on. No Final Fantasy 8 remake? Or is that supposed to be 7?
That was supposed to be 7.
Antipode mistype! Type.
I think I was at work when I did this.
Aww.
Final Fantasy VII Remake rumors nixed. With the PS1 defining role-playing game, Final Fantasy VII now celebrating its 10th anniversary. Seems like a perfect opportunity for the kings of cashing in, Square Enix, to release a remake. Mm. It's been 2 years since the company showed its Final Fantasy VII tech demo for the PS3, so it has to be pretty far along, right? Not so, says Tetsuya Nomura. According to recent Dorimaga interview by way of IGN, rumors of a remake are just that, rumors. He says, it appears that there are often overseas rumors like, are you currently developing a Final Fantasy VII remake? My apologies, but we're absolutely not making such a game. Nomura does mention that while they're not officially working on it, quote, as long as there are people who want to make it and people who are waiting for it, we don't want to proclaim the end. So, it's not in the works,
right,
but it may be in some point in the near century. So, who knows? And no Final Fantasy games for the 360 at all.
In the works. They clarified
that. In the works.
Because they said that they didn't mean that there weren't going to be any Final Fantasy games to be made for the 360.
Uh-huh, but they're just not right now.
Not right now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Probably because Final Fantasy XI did so well on the 360.
It was on the 360 too?
Yep.
Oh my God.
And it was a 60-minute install time.
Oh my God.
Well, yeah, I think it takes that much to install on a PC too. Because you install it from the discs, and then you got to update it from the website.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, Xbox owners are probably like, what the fuck is this? And they're just like, what? Next up, Myst on the DS. Yeah. Oh,
I give this a thumbs 45
up
degrees downward.
Give it a stick down.
It makes sense. One of the best-selling games of all time. And one of the best-selling game systems in recent memory. Money explosion is what I like to call it. But still, I am not buying this or touching it with a 20-foot fishing pole, because
We know how Austin feels about Myst. I kind of feel that way, but just not as vehement.
Myst, piece of shit.
Very vehement about it.
Fucking piece of shit.
No, Myst sucks.
Piece of shit. Fucking God damn it!
I think I played all three Mists, and all of them combined equal a total of 10-minute playing time.
Are you serious? God, see, I bought the Myst collection under the impression that 2, 3, and 4 were actually better and improved.
Okay.
So did I just waste my money?
Yes.
Well, I spent $10 in it, so whatever. And this was like 3 years ago, so.
Oh, well, yeah, and you still haven't picked it up? Money well spent.
Whatever. I got a stack of games that I haven't played, so, I mean, it's not like that's anything new for me. Mm-hmm. Next, Itagaki is the cockiest developer alive.
He's awesome.
Pretty freaking hilarious. For those who don't know, Tobunobu Itagaki is the Ninja Gaiden developer. And this piece from Wired News, the headline is, Team Ninja's Itagaki, Ninja Gaiden 2 will discourage other developers. What Team Ninja's Tomonobu Itagaki lacks in colorful wardrobe, because he always dresses in black, he more than makes up for it in pride and strong feeling of self-worth. In a recent interview with Game Informer, Itagaki says that he's reluctant to show anything from either Code Chronos or Ninja Gaiden 2 because it would be so staggeringly awesome. It would make other developers go hide in a corner and cry. This is what he said. I'd like to show everybody some of the new stuff that we've been working on in the near future. The only problem with that is that when the other developers see what we're doing, they're going to lose all of their motivation to create any game in the same genre, because there's no way they can beat it.
At least he's modest.
Yeah.
Man, I so badly want to show you guys my awesome game, but it's too awesome.
Too awesome for you.
Moving on.
Your Assassin's eyes would melt.
Kiss the ring. Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed is confirmed for November, so there goes the money explosion again.
Mm-hmm.
Halo, Grand Theft Auto 4, and now Assassin's Creed 3. I think there's going to be some kind of fucking earthquake in like Middle America when
Isn't
this happens. Is
Metroid supposed to be coming out at around
August?
August. Oh, it's
yeah.
August now. Oh.
Yeah. Smart. Around my birthday. That's all I need for them to do. SEC investigates Activision. Apparently, Activision was making too much money, and the SEC didn't like that. So let me see what the details behind this little thing are.
Activision making money since 1983?
What is it with these game execs and their backroom stock market money business? Earlier this year, and this is from 1UP.com, earlier this year we saw stakeholders of Take-Two Interactive confessing to charges of falsifying financial statements and backdating stock options. For his troubles, Brandt... Who the fuck? Oh, this is a poorly written article, dude. Mark Whiting? Shitty article because you don't specify who the hell Brandt is. Received a $7.3 million fine as well as a boot. Today we can act... Activision to the official list of companies under formal investigation by the Federal Securities and Exchange Commission. Gamasutra is reporting that the company has confirmed the presence of SEC inbound, presumably with some hardcore auditing in mind. So hopefully they aren't in trouble because they stand to make a shitload of money with Guitar Hero 3. In an unrelated news piece, which isn't on the agenda, but I just have to speak up, Activision is getting catty and saying about Rock Band... Oh, sooner or later there was going to be some kind of imitator rising, which is really shitty considering that the people working on Rock Band, EA is publishing it, but Harmonix is developing it.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, Harmonix was the one that developed Guitar Hero.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's not an imitator. They're the father of the fucking game.
Hey, guess what? If you haven't heard, Rock Band is apparently supposed to... make Guitar Hero obsolete. Would you like to hear?
So that's it. That's the new.
No, wait. I got info on this one.
Oh. Okay.
Speak.
In an interview with I think it's the CEO of Harmonix or Activision. I forget what it is. They said that Rock Band is going to support.
It wouldn't be Activision because Activision is Guitar Hero.
Oh, right. Not Activision. Harmonix or
Rigopolis.
Yeah, Rigopolis.
Okay, so yeah, it's Harmonix.
It's Harmonix, yeah. He said that Rock Band is going to most likely, probably in the future, but not for this iteration, but support user-imported tracks.
Mm. Oh.
Mm.
And it's going to have MIDI support for electronic drums.
So that's crazy.
And that the big thing here is the user-imported tracks. And you can allow people, of course, there's downloadable content. There's supposed to be an insane amount of downloadable content for this game. And the MIDI support. But the big kicker here is the user customized tracks. And they said it might not be out the gate, but they're really working on trying to get that for the Rock Band franchise.
Right.
It's crazy. I'd buy that. I'd definitely buy that. I'm laying down money right now.
I just think it's pretty catty and like fucking uncool of Activision to be like, yeah, Rock Band's gonna be Rock Band's gonna be the imitator when the company that they teamed up with was the one that's making Rock Band and was the one that made Guitar Hero. So whatever. I mean, they're just whatever. And finally, religion sucks. This is a great one that Tony found. Let me read this. Church attacks Sony over video game. And this is from UKGuardian.co.uk. The Church of England has threatened legal action against Sony after it used a cathedral without permission as a backdrop to an ultra-violent computer game. Church leaders have accused Sony of the desecration of Manchester Cathedral after the firm set one of its top-selling games inside the place of worship. The new PlayStation 3 game, and they spell PlayStation with a hyphen between Play and Station, titled Resistance Fall of Man, which has sold more than 1 million copies, sees a virtual shootout between rival gunmen with hundreds killed during a gun battle inside a cathedral in an orgy of blood.
Whoa.
Church officials described Sony's use of the building as sick and sacrilegious. The church say Sony did not ask for permission to use the cathedral. Do you need permission to use a building type?
The only time that I've ever heard a video game getting flack, or actually it was a movie getting flack for changing something on a building, was Spider-Man, because the Times Square
building. The World Trade
Center. No. Times Square. Well, they changed that. If anybody's ever seen the trailer for the original Spider-Man, you'll know that it had a helicopter trapped in a net between the World Trade Center buildings.
Right.
After 2001, that was gone. That whole scene was deleted. Anyway, getting back to the Spider-Man thing, the building was owned by Samsung in the background. Uh-huh. Okay. And they had a Samsung cell phone ad or whatever in the background, and since Sony makes Spider-Man, they decided to with computer graphics change the advertising on that building, and Samsung sued the shit out of Sony. So they can't change the advertising. If you're going to put it in a movie, it's got to be exactly what they did. They don't care if it's made by Sony. If you're going to show everything else, why change this just because you're Sony? Well, here it is. Now this is a church. Okay, this is a church. I don't know if the game is actually, if one of the scenes takes place in the church, and they're just blowing the shit out of Jesus on a cross, you know, that would be in bad taste. But come on, it's not actionable. What the fuck, man? It's a fucking. So what? They put a lot of buildings in the thing just because they wanted to depict, a Manchester fucking church. Okay, I don't give a fuck. I'd blow that shit up right now, you know? If it was in a game that you could blow it up, oh, man, I would go to town on that church, you know? Let them be pissed. I don't care. They're fucking stupid.
Let me finish the article. The church says Sony did not ask permission to use a cathedral and has demanded an apology and the removal of the game from shop shelves. Otherwise, legal action will be considered. Sony has not returned calls to officials from the church. The firm is also branded irresponsible for choosing Manchester, a city plagued by gun violence which has left tens of youngsters dead.
Oh, no. Tens.
Tens! Jesus
Christ. The Bishop of Manchester, the RT Rev.
The
okay,
RTS
seriously. I don't know. It says RT Rev. Anyway.
RT Rev Nacho McCulloch.
McCulloch.
He's not even English. He's fucking from... He's from the country they hate, Scotland.
Scotland. For a global manufacturer to recreate one of our great cathedrals. Okay, whatever. Antipode has some Spider-Man trivia.
Yay!
Yeah, hey. Although the World Trade Center was taken out of that from after 2001, mm-hmm. Did you know that the World Trade Center is actually still in that trailer? Yes, no?
No.
Yes, it is.
The whole scene with the helicopter? It's not.
No. Yeah. Just the buildings.
Just the buildings?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's this one scene where Spider-Man, is going around the city, and you see the shot of his eyes, and in the eyes, you see the backdrop, and the World Trade Center flies by there. And they felt that was too minute to remove.
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, what are we supposed to do? Just forget it ever existed? They should keep it in a movie. I mean,
it's too soon.
Yeah, well...
Too soon.
Moving on, two more news. Sony's Blu-ray player is now cheaper than the PlayStation 3. The BDP S300 Blu-ray player has dropped $100 in price to $499. Mm-hmm. So that's cheaper than the PlayStation. PlayStation 3, I'm sorry. Now, the reason why I found this... Well, Al is the one who found this piece, but I also found this interesting because one of my motivations for getting the PS3 in the first place is if our family was going to get an ACTV and they wanted to get a Blu-ray player, why not get a PS3?
Mm-hmm.
$600. And I saw a DVD being played in a Blu-ray player upscaled to 1080p, and it looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like just a regular DVD. It doesn't look as good as Blu-ray, but it looks really good.
Okay.
So I'm like, yeah, why not, get a PS3 for that? And, just whatever, because a Blu-ray player is $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe not.
Yeah.
You know, because
standard Blu-ray player, and you're not going to buy any PlayStation games anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if I could save $100 now, you know, if I could save $100 now, and you know, suppose I'm going to move out at some point, right, mm-hmm. or whatever, get my own place. I'm going to have, you know, I'm going to take the PS3 with me, and then the family's going to be without a Blu-ray player.
Right, right, right.
You know, so because I'm not going to play any PS3 games now for another 2 years, 2-3 years, there's nothing that I want to play mm-hmm. except for maybe God of War 3 if it comes out in that time span. It's like, why am I going to spend $600 now
right.
just for a Blu-ray player now that this thing is $500? Save $100, wait till later, get the PS3 when it's dropped down in price to like $2, which it will never do, mm-hmm. and, you know, be done with it. That said, I think the market for PlayStation 3 doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
Because while I'm pretty sure that a lot of people, when they buy the PlayStation 3, they're like, I want the games,
uh-huh.
but guess what? I also get a fucking Blu-ray player. Awesome.
Right.
Well, I want a Blu-ray player, right. so I'll go get a PS3. The people who just want a Blu-ray player probably are likely to just get a Blu-ray player. Well, no, scratch that. Maybe not. I mean, I'm sure there's some people who would look at the $600 price tag
uh-huh.
and be like, okay, that's cheaper than $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
But I have the feeling that, like, the people who buy PlayStation 3s for the games, like, aren't going to all of a sudden be like, oh, my God, Blu-ray player is $500. Forget the PS3. You know what I mean? Like, they will still get their PS3 because they want to play. They want to play Moat to Storm.
This makes much more sense than the original price tag that they had on the Blu-ray player because, you know, for the Sony, you're getting a game system with the Blu-ray
right.
player. Okay, so yeah, it should be more expensive than the actual Blu-ray player because you're getting something extra.
Yeah,
you know,
right?
I mean, so
logistically, it does make sense, but I mean, from a business standpoint, I can understand why they priced it the way they did.
Mm.
You know,
well, it didn't work.
I don't know about that. I mean, PS3 isn't blowing sales out of the water,
mm.
but it's still selling decently.
Do we have any, like, background on how much the Blu-ray players are actually selling? Is it putting Sony in the black, or are they still in the red from both ends, you know?
I honestly don't know, but I will say that, like, I mean, the PS3 did, I mean, reason why I think it did somewhat work,
mm-hmm.
you know, is that when the PS3 came out, sales of Blu-ray discs
mm-hmm.
relatively skyrocketed.
Mm.
So you can see that people were, like, taking advantage of the fact that, hey, there is a Blu-ray player in this thing, and we will take advantage of it.
Okay.
Casino Royale was, like, in the fucking top 10 of, like, high-definition disc or something, like, beating the pants off of, like, HD-DVD.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was selling.
Okay.
But I think from a regular consumer standpoint, now it makes more sense that now they can get a Blu-ray player without having to, you know, spend extra money.
Right.
And really, like, Sony pricing the thing at $600 was a huge financial mm-hmm. smack in the pants for them. Because, like, they were losing, like, $300 every
right,
unit.
Yeah.
So, but now that manufacturing is cheaper, they're kind of safe now. And they're starting to talk about price drops again.
Okay.
You know. So, anyway, any last words or move on to the next news?
I give this a thumbs neutral.
God damn it, you and your thumbs!
God, thumb up your ass.
Stop being Ebert on us, okay?
No.
Yes.
I give
status
you
of Nintendo heads unclear, but 60% of Nintendo of America sales and marketing team is gone. Earlier, there was a rumor that was or unconfirmed news piece that was posted by Game Informer Online that Perrin Kaplan, Beth Lowlin, and
George Harrison,
right,
mm-hmm.
were calling it quits because they didn't not no reason, but I'm assuming because they didn't want to move to San Fran. So this is confirmed that the marketing sales department is almost decimated, but no word on those three heads.
Uh-huh.
This is from Tom Magrino at GameSpot. The rumor mill churned Wednesday as word spread that up to 90% of Nintendo of America's public relations department, including Senior Vice President of Marketing George Harrison, Vice President of Marketing Perrin Kaplan, and Senior Director of Public Relations Beth Lewelin.
Yewin.
Yewin. If it's Spanish, it would be Yewin. Yewin. had departed the company over issues stemming from the imminent relocation of the sales and marketing branch currently based in Redmond, Washington. Today, Nintendo of America President Reggie Fils-Aimé confirmed some cutbacks had indeed occurred. The outspoken executive told the San Jose Mercury News that 55 jobs 55 jobs would be relocated to the San Francisco / San Jose area at the end of September, as well as 24 more heading to New York City. Awesome. He also stated that 60% of NOA's sales and marketing staff would not be making the move, opting instead to leave the company. Putting on his corporate face, Fils-Aimé remained optimistic about the timing of the transition, stating, "It's much easier to do this right now than when we have to It's much easier to do this right now when we certainly have the wind at our back." As for Harrison, Kaplan, and Llewellyn, Fils-Aimé would not comment on their status other than calling the reports of such speculation and rumor.
Uh-huh.
Huh. So he still is not going to confirm that. As of now, that's still a rumor, but that would be kind of interesting if that did happen.
Oh,
I mean,
Perrin. Poor Perrin.
No more. There will be component cables in the store at launch, and then there are no component cables in the store
no,
at launch.
And no this more component fucking the down. Press.
Ah, Perrin.
Oh, Perrin.
A deep dive into the CD world of EB Games / GameStop's pre-ordering. This is a blog entry that actually talks about the pre-ordering fiasco. He calls it Exposed, The Ugly Truth of Pre-Order Pushing, Part 1. This is on Bits, Bytes, Pixels, and Sprites, otherwise known as www.thebbps.com. Sorry.
The boobs.
The bips. And yeah, he's talking about how like the pre-order pushing works. Apparently there's this reverse pyramid where like there are a whole bunch of games at the top of the pyramid that kind of filter down through the levels down to this one big game, so that when a customer comes in and pre-orders a game at the top of the list, you follow the game kind of down the tree and say, "Would you like to also pre-order this one?"
Right.
They come in the next time, pre-order that one, and they follow the next game down the tree and say, "Hey, would you like to pre-order this one?" Until you finally get to the big game that everyone wants. It's just really funny and kind of seedy how they plan this elaborate little pre-ordering scheme to like get customers to pre-order that big game in the middle. Mm-hmm. And it's really funny. This guy just exposes every single thing about the way that it works because he was not forced to sign an NDA agreement when he was hired. So... here we go.
Oh, wait, but then there's this other thing with the trade-ins, where they the whole calculation of how they get the trade-in money, the pre-sale family tree, aka Circle of Life.
Yeah. I was gonna read
cool,
that.
Cool. Go ahead.
Here we go. The pre-sale family tree. Wait. Marketing voice. The pre-sale family tree is a schematic diagram resembling an upside-down pyramid of the most highly coveted new release titles linked together in a chronological order. Titles in the tree match and merge with one another based on the system and or genre. Eventually, all titles merge into one final release, which we call The Root. The Root is essentially where all your hard work has trickled down to. Hundreds of individual orders on a diverse selection of games to one final title all gamers have been craving. The purpose is to get a customer to pre-order an item from the top of the tree, and based on which title they order, recommend an item found on the next branch for them to pre-order when they pick up the original title. This is called a rollover. Eventually, all pre-orders from the branches trickle down into The Root. This process increases the trade opportunity, which increases overall company profits. The tree is used to, quote, drive the business, end quote. By properly utilizing the tree in a demand-based direction, a store can maximize both loyalty and profits from its clients while ensuring the best possible trade scenarios with the newest titles. Proper execution of the pre-sale family tree falls into three categories, which are based on the time frame. Therefore, before the first week of a release, during the first week, and after the first week, within these periods, opportunities and strategy change. Before the first week, coming soon! Step 1, sense demand. Create goals for new release titles. 2, mass marketing. It is impossible to sell what cannot be seen. Duh. Utilizing available pop... What's POP?
It's point of purchase.
Point of purchase. Help to showcase the hottest new release. 3. Adjust the hot list. Prepare for the next wave of titles on your tree to roll over your clients during the next pickup. I love how they put roll over in caps.
Roll over.
And they put The Root in caps.
The Root. The Root
4,
is on fire.
4. Call list. Call your pre-sales. Mentioning add-ons at this time helps maximize your attach rate. Mention the GPG program. Hint books, trade-in opportunities, and of course, mention titles from the next branch of the tree!
I gotta interrupt for a second. That GPG bullshit. I mean, have you ever gone to GameStop or the EB Games, and they go, "Would you like to purchase some game insurance just in case your game breaks and you can get it? You know, you can send it back and get it replaced free of charge."
Yeah,
yes, I would like to purchase game insurance on my Warcraft Battle Chest.
And it's like,
please take my money.
99% of the time, of course, your game's not going to break, so that's money in your pockets. Bullshit.
And if you're breaking your games, you're fucked up.
You don't deserve to play video games. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Hey, roll over. I want to fuck you in the root.
With my root. No, with my tree.
With my tree.
My tree.
My family tree.
All right, here's the next phase. Here's the next phase. During the first week, hot new release. Rollover. Essential to success. Rolling pre-orders over to a title in the next branch of the tree continues the cycle and maximizes profits. Two, mass marketing. During the first week, marketing changes. The addition of a pop for titles in the next branch of the tree can maximize opportunities. Primary marketing dedicated to the new release title is very important to attract walk-in clients. Third phase. After the first week, yesterday's news. Step one, roll over. Previous week's new release is old news. It's time to roll over and pre-order from the next branch. Two, call list. Recall pre-order list if possible to start the before process again. And it's a circle of life. I have never, knock on wood, gotten a call from anybody at GameStop talking about pre-orders, but that's probably because the store that I go to that I pre-order from and all that shit, like, the dude behind the desk kind of knows me.
Yeah.
And he's like, I want to do that shit to you. So...
Same with me.
But
I did. When I pre-ordered Kingdom Hearts 2, they called me.
Oh,
like,
God, you got called?
Yeah, they called me. They were like, yeah, we just want to remind you that Kingdom Hearts 2 is coming out on Thursday.
Was it one of those stupid automated things?
No. It was an actual person, and they were like,
hello, this is Rob from GameStop calling to remind you that Kingdom Hearts 2
is coming out.
I'm sure they hate doing that, so if they were to ever call me, I wouldn't bitch him out, because, like, it's not the employee's fault.
Right.
They probably don't want to do it.
Totally understood.
But I would be so tempted to be like, dude, can you just put your manager on the phone? It's not your fault. Just put him on the phone, please.
By the way,
and be like, motherfucker, stop calling me and stop making them call me.
Right. Have you gone into GameStop recently and bought something other than the Battle Chest or?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, when I bought CNC, they gave me a list of pre-order games.
Would you like to pre-order this?
Yeah.
No, then would you like to pre-order this?
They gave me a whole list.
Oh, they just coming out,
list.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, so they didn't sit there and bother you. They just said, you know what, just read off this list. If you want it, you can.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And she's like, okay, come back, you know, and buy something. I'm like, oh.
Okay, that's cool.
All right, okay.
That's kind of annoying, but that's okay. Like, that's not nearly as bad as taking your credit card. Mm-hmm. And before swiping it, would you like to pre-order Command & Conquer 4, which is going to come out in 2012? Uh-huh. Would you like to pre-order this? When I got the StarCraft Battle Chest, he looked at it and he smirked and he said, "Would you like to pre-order StarCraft 2, which is coming out next October?" Which probably won't be true.
Right.
And I was like,
"Pre-order
you mean next October?" He's like, "Yeah, it probably wouldn't be that till then either." So yeah, he was just like,
"Pre-order that shit."
Pre-order Jesus, a game
I got like, $10 tied up into GameSpot for a game that's not coming out till next year. Oh, okay, that's smart. Right.
Yeah,
fucking
GameStop.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, but every time I walk into that store, like that dude Alex, who I'm pretty cool with, like every time he asks me to pre-order something, he says it with such a disdain on his face. He's just like, "I'm sorry, I have to put you through this, but my manager's going to fire me if I don't say this." Face. So like every time he's like, "Would you like to pre-order this?" No. Okay, fine. "Would you like to pre-order that?" No. Okay, fine. Sorry, man. And I'm just like, dude, I understand. Don't worry about it.
I don't get that. Yeah, that hasn't happened to me. Oh, and the only thing I bought insurance on was the PSP. It was $250. It looks flimsy, and if it breaks, I want a new one without paying $250.
You know, it's surprisingly, it's more sturdy than I used to give it credit for. So
yeah. By the way, how long has it been since?
How long is what?
Since Ethan was playing install.
Oh yeah, that's right. I have an update for that.
45.
He text messaged me.
Uh-huh.
I think my mic is actually broken. Will not work in the laptop either. That was sent at 12:47 p.m.
Aww.
And I responded back, "Awesome. Do you have a backup?" Which obviously he doesn't, just to tease him.
Right.
He responds back all pissy, "What do you think?"
Aw, poor Jew.
So I just responded back, "I think you suck." And he responded back, "Me too." So, Ethan, you're useless. You little bitch. Moving on. Sony. Layoffs. What is happening? Sony's game division said its European unit may cut up to 160 jobs, or 8.4% of its workforce there as it faces hot competition from Microsoft and Nintendo. Holy shit. Sony Computer Entertainment's other regional operations, such as those in the U.S. and Japan, could also take some streamlining measures. But nothing has been decided, said SCE spokesman Satoshi Fukuoka. No, I'm sorry. It's written as Fukuoka, but I just found it funny that in an article about layoffs, his last name has fuck in it. Sony's new layoffs... Sony's new PlayStation 3 game console launched late last year has been running behind Nintendo's latest machine, the Wii, due to high prices and a limited range of software titles, while the 360 hit the market a year ahead of the PS3. However, SEC's Fukuoka said the potential job cuts are not the result of the PS3's slow start, but a response to the changes in the game industry, including a shift to online distribution of software from... Interesting. I kind of don't buy that because, like, regular games are still being bought online... on store shelves. But, like, it's a... I guess it's a viable excuse.
Yeah, it's the company line.
Company line. And we're moving on to the bag of shit.
It's time for bag of shit. Starring Ethan.
Bag of shit.
Yay! And some dickhead named Tony.
And Ethan. Boo.
Boo.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first because mine isn't that great.
Okay.
Sword of Vermillion for Genesis.
That was the most incredible laugh I've ever heard at a Tony. You know, I actually wanted to play that. What sucks about it?
All right, let me tell you. You know, I have memories of this game from like 7 years ago, 8 years ago,
memories.
Maybe 10 years ago. My best friend Rob, he had that game and. He decided that he hated me so much that he was going to lend it to me.
Time out for 1 second. Is it on a virtual console?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Go on.
So I decided to play it thinking, okay, I should be able to go through this game. It's not that hard. Probably not, you know, whatever. And the game was absolutely terrible. I got to a certain point in the middle of the game. I was like, fuck this game. I'm not playing this anymore. It's just too cheap. Right?
What is it? What like? How does it play?
I'm going to tell you.
Oh, okay.
Wait, Tony.
You swing around a salami.
Shut up. Al. All
right. So, I totally forgot, you know, how the game goes. So I decided to pick it up again today before the podcast.
Oh no!
And I started from the beginning. You know, I kind of went through the motions, like, okay, it's a regular standard RPG. You go talk to people, you find out. The story's really cool because it's like this guy invades your country, and then your father hands you off to, like, his top knight as a baby. And the top knight goes out to a secret passage, and he raises you till you're 18.
And rapes you in the bunghole.
No. And then he dies and tells you that, you know, he's not really your father. Your father was the king of the country that burned down, and then I want you to seek vengeance, blah, blah, blah. So you're like, okay, I could get with this. Then you leave the town. And after you leave the town, the map is in like a first-person dungeon crawling type of view.
Oh, God!
Wait.
Do you have
and then
map?
You don't have a map, really, until you actually like get a map. But until you get the actual map of the area, all you see is a little circle of yourself as you're walking through the area. Then an enemy will materialize in front of you. Now, you think, okay, it's a first person. It's probably going to be one of those, like, dungeon explorer type of... Not dungeon
right.
explorer, double
menu,
dungeon.
Menu-driven. Menu-driven. Right.
No. It goes into a side-scrolling action fighter.
What?
Where you fight the enemy. Now, the thing is, okay, for example, the first enemy I fought today was a slime. And I was fortunate enough to only fight one slime. And you get into this, like, side-scrolling... Mm-hmm. Well, not side-scrolling, but... it's not scrolling at all. It's just a side view. Almost three-quarter.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a...
Well, almost three-quarter.
You know, it's like a side-scrolling view, but it doesn't scroll.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's just this one slime bouncing around, and you walk around, and you have this, like, sword.
Wait, before you continue.
Yeah.
A slime bouncing around?
Yes.
Side-scrolling enemies in an overworld slash... Shades of Zelda 2 ripoff?
Kind of, but no, nothing like that.
No, I'm just saying because you said the slime is bouncing around.
Oh, no.
And bouncing. Those little slimes in Zelda 2, like, bounce around and shit.
Oh, that's true, in the side-scrolling part.
Yeah.
Like, but check it out. So now you can walk up, down, left, and right, you know, like, all around the level. And when you attack, you have this, like, zero-range sword slash where you have to be touching the enemy. But the thing is, if the enemy touches you, you take damage. So you fight the thing, and if I killed the slime in one hit, and it goes...
Yeah.
Every time an enemy dies, it makes that sound.
Every enemy.
Right?
A fairy goes...
Pretty much.
Not to mention that even though you're not wearing any armor, the guy's clad in armor.
He's clad in armor with a shield and a sword. When they started a game, you can only buy a shield and a sword, a couple of herbs, and a candle.
Yeah.
Now, the candle comes into play when you go into the first cave, because the story is the father gave the guy...
Shades of Zelda 2!
Wait. The father, the father gave the guy a ring of wisdom, and the guy hid it in this cave, so he tells you to go get the ring of wisdom to get started. So you go into the cave, and it's just black. You're like, okay. So then you use the candle, and then it lights up. Now, the funny part is, every time you enter a level, you're looking at the entrance. So if you... like me, want to go forward, use the candle, and you see the ladder, and you're like, okay, and you press forward, you leave the cave. You've wasted your candle.
What?
So now you have no money,
no candle.
You have to go fight enemies. So now what I did, I went and...
They sound like they're vomiting.
Wait, and then I was like, all right, fuck this, I'm through with this game. So now I went and I ran around, and then I saw some goblins. A goblin appeared. I'm like, okay, this shouldn't be so bad. 8 goblins appeared on the screen. And murdered me.
What disturbs? Uh-huh. Oh, go ahead.
Oh yeah. So basically, they surrounded me and just kept touching me, and I died.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Touched me in all sorts of violating places.
La.
And then
what disturbs me about hearing about this game is that you start off in a town in a normal RPG top-down setting.
Yeah.
But you leave the town and it's first person.
Yes.
And then you go into another town and it goes back to the town view.
Yeah. And when you go into the dungeons, it's in first person. But you can see, like, a little mini-map on the side. The thing is, the mini-map doesn't flesh out until you actually find the map. So you're still lost no matter what you do.
Here's my problem. That game has multiple personality. What the fuck does it want to be?
Yeah.
A side-scrolling fighter? A top-down explorer? Or a first-person explorer?
It wanted to be Dungeons & Dragons. That's what it wanted to be. It wanted to be that. But it failed miserably. So the top-down view in town is the same top-down view for the fighting. And he swings his sword like he's, I swear to God, like he's just like a gimp.
Like he's raising his hand if he's sure.
Yeah. Sorry for all the gimps out there, but you probably swing a sword better than this guy. This guy just, it goes up and down the sword, like in the most hackneyed fucking animation ever. And you gotta be like right on top of the enemy in order to hit them, which means you're going to get hit most of the times. This game blew so much dick.
But wait, the bosses were like even worse. I can't even really remember the bosses, but it was like, you know, the boss is just like some, like I think that one of the bosses was some big ass walking like armor, and he would just walk real slow, and you'd have to like hit him and run away and hit him and run away.
This changes too. Yeah, it changes. It's a different fighting thing too. Here you could actually duck. And use your shield and shit.
It did change, right?
What the fuck does it want to be? What kind of game does it want to be? Oh, I think I'm going to be an RPG, and then I'm going to be a first-person shooter, and then I'm going to be a dungeon crawler, then I'm going to be a real-time strategy game, and then I think I want to go be a dating sim. That's all you need. You need a dating sim in there, and then it'll be complete.
Oh,
Tony, what's your bag of shit game?
That game blows. Dude, what's funny is I was actually going to say that one last time. That game sucks so much ass. Oh wow, good
Thank
call
you,
out.
What's your shit of bad game?
Game fucking sucks.
Wait! It's a board game now. God, what does it want to be?
You're not gonna be surprised with this bag of shit. Many people are gonna get upset about it because there's a lot of people that really, really like this game, but I have to include it in my bag of shit because I hate it so much. Final Fantasy X! Fuck that game! I fucking hate that game! That bullshit!
My God, it's not
game.
That bad!
No action!
Jeez.
Dude,
I like it! I actually like it. I just... Wow, that's a pretty ballsy inclusion, buddy. And not because you're going to piss people off, which I don't care about, but just because it's actually a good game.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
Not to me.
I mean, it's just very annoying.
I said it's going to be an unpopular choice, but I have... It's my bag of shit, okay?
Yeah.
This is a game that I vehemently hate. I can't hate it more, okay?
Wow.
This game I bought when it first came off the fucking shelves, and I was expecting to be blown away. I mean, I love Final Fantasy VII, okay? haven't played anything other, you know, of the other series except for, like, I think three. And, like, it was one of the older ones and stuff like that. And I really liked it. I get this game, and again, here's the fucking problem. Show beautiful graphics. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Beautiful. Fantastic. Awesome development on this game. Starts off, you have the scene by the fireplace, actually by the campfire, okay? And, yeah, that's
Titus.
Beautiful. Yeah, then you start the game. And they show you that motherfucking scene again. Again! What the fuck? And then in the middle of the game, just for kicks, they show you that fucking scene again. You motherfucker! And then you can't skip any of the fucking cutscenes, which are numerous in this game. There are more cutscenes in this game than action. And even the action, to me, sucked so much ass. Okay, let me get this straight. I'm going to put together a kick-ass team of people. One of them's going to have a sword. One of them's going to have a ball. What are you fucking kidding
Titus,
me?
You play pit ball.
Hey, Titus, I'm Hawaiian. Why don't you come fuck me in my bun? I don't know what the fuck is going on with this game. This game sucks. Al, I know you like that one.
No, I don't like it, actually.
It's all about gay today.
I haven't even finished it.
Where did you even get this?
Huh?
What? Huh?
How is Al all about gay?
Wasn't in the beginning, I was saying things like, you know, they come on your base or something.
Hey, you said it.
And he was like, come. You know?
No, I didn't do that.
No, he didn't say that.
I said it reminds me of something else, which actually involves
10,
how much a man
9,
and a woman.
8,
what?
7.
I got time. Wait. I got time. I hate this game. I hate this game.
Wow.
I fucking hate that game. Oh, by the way, the limits were even worse. The hardest limit to pull off was Lulu, okay? I don't know what the fuck they were thinking about with these limits, but they try to change everybody's limit. So it goes from, you know, being very easy in Titus's case, or ridiculous in Lulu's. Like, what the fuck is going on with this game? I don't have time for it. I didn't pick it up. After I got to the, like, near end, I quit because that game sucked to me. So, yeah, that's
wow.
It. My bag of shit!
Yeah, I kind of did that too. Near the middle.
See? So why is it... But you like the game, though?
No.
I said I like the game. I said,
Al said that it wasn't that bad or something.
Yeah, I said it wasn't that bad, but I just couldn't... I couldn't take it after a certain point.
And it belongs in a bag of shit. That's a game that I purposely did not clear because I couldn't take it anymore. Just couldn't.
Yeah, that kind of qualifies.
I guess the reason why I like it is, I mean, I hate all the fucking, like, waiting on the cutscenes shit, but, like, the character management is really cool for me. That's why I like it. Like, I really like the Sphere Grid. And I actually like the change that they made to the combat system in terms
you like
of...
That. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay,
which
so
you
I
thought
like,
it, I,
you
I
like
thought
the
it
fact
made...
that unless your person either defends themselves or attacks, that's the only way to get an experience.
Huh?
That's not what he was talking about. That's why I was like, what are you talking about, Weston?
No, I'm just
talking about the combat system, right?
Yeah, but what about the combat system?
No, just in general, like how they changed it to a turn-based thing where you can actually, like, tactically switch in and out your players.
Yeah, no, totally
that's what
understand.
I like about it.
Yeah, totally understand that. And you're going to have to switch out your players and have them attack or defend in order to get experience. It's not like you win with this party and Titus is...
Well, that's fine. I mean, that's I think that's good because, like, why should a person get experience if they didn't do shit?
Right.
That sucks. I mean, they're in your fucking party.
But they didn't do shit.
Yeah, but if they get hit, they don't get experience either. So what the
Well, they
fuck?
Got hit. They didn't do anything. They just got
it doesn't
hit.
Doesn't matter.
Yes,
okay,
it does.
Let me get this straight. Let me get this straight for my effort.
All right. Have you ever played Final? Have you ever played
nothing.
Final Fantasy Tactics?
Huh?
Have you ever played Final Fantasy Tactics?
Game either.
Well, that goes to show things then.
What is the show?
No, just your tastes. Like you prefer people to get experience if they don't do anything. That's all. Oh,
no,
I wasn't.
I prefer to get experience for if they're gonna get hit. You gotta get experience for that. You're in a party. What the fuck?
I don't know about that. Moving on.
God damn it.
It's weird to me, but whatever.
I told you it was on.
No. I don't give a shit about the popularity of the choice. I'm just saying I find it strange that that's such a big sticking point.
Well, no, that's just one of the many sticking points.
Well, the fact that that's a sticking point at all, I guess I was saying. I mean, if anybody, like, the old way back when pen and paper, if you didn't do shit, they were giving you experience.
Right.
You were there. You got experience nonetheless.
Well, you got experience at the end of the adventure, but if you just sat around and did absolutely nothing for the entire adventure, you wouldn't get anything.
I'm talking about pen and paper. That's just a preference. I just find it weird. My bag of shit is shittier than your Final Fantasy X. Terminator 2 Judgment Day for the Game Boy.
Oh, God. Not another
Game Boy. The original Game Boy.
I gotta pull this one up.
Okay, and yeah, I'm looking at the Wikipedia entry, and it's saying it's published by Capcom when the box clearly says LJN.
Oh, oh God.
Okay.
Oh my God.
The first level. Alright, the mechanics are kinda sound, sort of. Not really. The first level, you're John Connor as an adult. You're trying to break into Skynet to reprogram the T2. Mm. And the first level is outside of the Skynet place, all right? When you reach the end of the level, there is this electronic gate that if you walk into, you die. So you're like, what the fuck? But your goal is to destroy the 5 power cell towers, the 5 energy towers on that stage. Okay, great. You destroy all 5 of them, and then you realize that you're supposed to destroy them from tallest to shortest.
Really?
And when you go through the thing, unless you take, like, a fucking digital picture of all of them and put them side by side by side, the really shortest one is easy to tell. Okay, that's the shortest one. The tallest one is the tallest one. That's easy to tell. Numbers 2, 3, and 4? You can't tell which one is taller than the other. Because they're spread so far apart that you'd have to, like, put, like, a piece of tape on your Game Boy to signify where it was. And then go to the other time, like, is this one taller or is this one shorter? Oh, I guess I did this one first. Then when you finally get into fucking, what's it called?
Skynet.
Like, onto Skynet, like, the T-800s take off, like, 98% of your life bar. I'm exaggerating, but still. And it's, like, the jumping is, like, I don't know how to describe it. It's, imagine Castlevania jumping.
Okay.
But it's much quicker and much higher. So you can jump higher, but it ends quicker. So it's like a spring. You jump and you're done. You jump and you're done. So, like, jumping over pits and, like, over things is, like, retarded. And then, when you actually find a T-800 to reprogram, it's this really god-awful puzzle game that you have no idea how to freaking, like, solve.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh, you have to rewire the circuits together. But it's all, oh, my God. Like, they give you, like, 10 seconds or something like that for something that, honestly, you need 10 seconds to look at before you even start going at it.
Mm-hmm.
Dear God. Eh, I don't know if that, I mean, judging from what I heard about Sword of Vermillion, maybe it's not worse than that.
No,
but
Sword of Vermillion wins. Hands down. The only thing I can say that's worse than that is probably Godzilla.
Well, did you play T2?
No, I played the Terminator. No, I didn't play T2 on the Game Boy Advance, but I played
Play that first before you say the only reason why I'm giving Vermillion a chance is because I haven't played it.
Right.
Play T2 first, and then you tell me.
I'll tell you what. You play Sword of Vermillion.
I am going to. Oh, believe me, I'm going to. I'm going to borrow that thing from Alan and play that shit.
Oh, please.
Because I've wanted to play it, because someone said that it was a good game, and I'm like, okay.
It's got great music. That's its only saving grace.
Yeah, the music is kind of good, but that's kind of like Mystic Quest. The only thing that was good about that.
Oh, Mystic Quest. Jeez.
That was my first bag of shit.
Moving on.
Yeah. Let's get off this pile of shit.
This bag of shit was rocking.
It stinks in here.
We are off the bag of shit. off the bag of shit, on to the main topic, which is not shit. Okay, the main topic. What one single video game in your playing history has had the most impact on you as a video game player? Whether the impact was positive or negative, whether the game was good or bad. And we were supposed to do this with Ethan, that's why we saved it for this week, but he's useless. So, fuck him.
Ethan!
Who wants to go first? Ethan. Or should I go first?
You go first.
You go first. Yeah, you never
okay.
go first.
Okay. And this is going to be a weird choice.
Okay.
But I will say Final Fantasy Legend 2 for the Game Boy.
Mm, okay. That's a good game.
It's the reason why it had the most impact on me is, like, up until then, I had been, like, you know, an action junkie. I like Street Fighter, like Mortal Kombat, like Contra, like Mega Man. You know, I looked at, like, one of my best friends at the time was playing this game. He was playing a Final Fantasy Legend, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at this, I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, it's battle. And I'm like, but it's all just menus. He was like, yeah, that's how you fight in this game. I'm like, are you shitting me? He's like, no, it's kind of cool. And I'm looking at him like, dude, no, seriously, come on. How are you fucking playing this shit? And he's like, well, I mean, you have a party of four people, and, like, you know, it's impossible to, like, do action simultaneously for all people. So they make it all menu-based. You know, you choose your weapon, and you can carry different weapons. And I'm just like, this is stupid. I'm going to go play Mario Brothers. But, you know, I can see that you like this, so whatever, to each his own.
Mm-hmm.
He gets the second one, and he's playing it. I'm like, I can't believe you're still playing this. And then he's like, look, let me lend it to you. Give it a shot. It's kind of like Zelda, except instead of combat with a sword, you know, it's menu-based. It's not real-time, and maybe it's not for you, but give it a shot. So I played it. It basically introduced me to the entire RPG genre, which was my favorite genre all throughout high school.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if it hadn't been for that game, like, I mean, who in their right mind would take a look at, like, a game where you fought with menus? I'm going to kick your ass with a menu, son. Oh, my menu's better than yours. Oh, shit. Oh, I'm a choose this thing and then menu you. Fuck you. You know, who cares, right? But, like, it's... when you give it a shot, I mean, like, all of us are RPG fans, you know, and there's a good reason why. And I would have never, ever played a single, like, never been enticed into playing Final Fantasy II for the Super Nintendo,
mm-hmm.
which is one of my favorite games of all time,
okay.
if it hadn't been for this game.
Okay.
You know, I played this game and then I saw Final Fantasy 2 in the store, and I'm like, somehow I thought that it would be like Final Fantasy Legend and Legend 2, which, for those of you who don't know, Final Fantasy Legend is actually called Saga in Japan. Totally different than Final Fantasy. Totally different battle system.
Mm-hmm.
And totally different motif. But yeah, it was like, I played it, and I'm like, this isn't anything like this Final Fantasy that I played on Game Boy. What the hell is this? It's better! You know? So, it basically introduced, like, I could have gone with things like, Mario Brothers, because it was, like, one of the first... No, I'm talking about this game introducing me to an entire genre
uh-huh.
where there were a lot of video games that made me interested in playing video games, not just Mario Brothers. So this one, to me, like, probably impacted me the most, because to this day, Final Fantasy VI is one of my most favorite games ever. Hadn't been for this game, I would have never tried it out at all. Like, I probably wouldn't have. And the funniest thing is that, looking back, I don't think it was that great of a game, to be honest. Final Fantasy Legend 2?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was that great. It was much more polished than the first one, which was, like, horribly designed somehow. But it still has some interface problems. It, you know, the inventory was too small.
Yeah.
Some of the balance wasn't there. Like, you'd go into one area and you'd have to really, like, grind, like, for hours before you could pass it, and then the next area is really easy. The leveling up system, I was kind of weird. Before I get off of this, like, it's just a snippet. You had different races: humans, male and female; mutants, male and female; a set of three different monsters, and a robot. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And robots leveled up by what you equip them with. So you always want to equip the robot with, like, the newest equipment that you found in the dungeon.
Yep.
And the only problem is that when you equip the robot with a piece of equipment, each equipment has, like, 50 uses or 25 uses or something, and then the weapon breaks. With robots, they cut those uses in half. But then they become like magic, where if you equip them with, like, a sword that has 50 uses, it goes down to 25. But after it gets down to zero, you can heal them at the end. So it's weird. It's all just, like, kind of weird and doesn't make sense. And then, like, when you unequip it from the robot, it loses half of its uses again.
Mm-hmm.
And then you equip it to the human, and they have, like, 5 uses left. And the human's like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this?
Yep.
And
you can't forget about all monsters. You can never pass the game with it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You can't pass a game with all monsters. It's too hard. Monsters upgrade by eating the meat of other monsters, which is actually the coolest part of the game to me.
Yeah.
And then humans just upgraded normally. Like, if you used an axe, you gained strength. If you used a rapier, you gained agility. If you, I think if you get hit, you gain hit points, right?
Yeah, it was all skill-based.
Wow, that's fucking weird, man.
So it's interesting, but it's like...
That's how Saga works.
Yeah, that's how Saga works. And then once you go down a path, unless you sit there and grind away, like, forever, you will probably continue going down that path where you'll get, like, at the end of the game, a human with, like, 99 strength but 2 agility because you've been using axes the whole time because your human was strong, so you use axes, which made you stronger, which made you use axes more because, like, it's like, why would I use a weak weapon when I can use an axe? And so it's like, I don't know. It's just weird, and it's a lot of grinding, but, you know, back when I was, like, 12, 11, I didn't really understand all that, and I just played it for, like, the adventuring. So, anyway, who's next?
I'm next.
Al's next.
Yeah, it's kind of just continuing off of your story, but the one single video game in my playing history that had the most impact on me was Final Fantasy II for the Super Nintendo. Because that, just like you, that put me on to RPGs as a genre. I did have a little bit of experience playing RPGs. I actually did own the original Final Fantasy, although I couldn't get past Elfheim. Because of the ogres and whatnot, and I was like 8, so I wasn't really
You're like, I don't want to give like a shit.
You know, I was always dying and all this stuff, so it didn't work out for me. I had Dragon Warrior back when the Nintendo Power subscription had that included, and I used to jump every time the you get into a battle,
right?
And I got up to the first dungeon. Cave where it was like all dark and you had to have a candle, the torch.
And everything's a candle today.
Yeah,
what
everything's
fuck?
A fucking candle. And so then you had to use a torch and whatnot, and then you get to the dragon to try and save the princess, and I couldn't beat the dragon. So then I quit on that, and I was little. Then I started going on, and I was in a private school, and this kid loaned me Final Fantasy II. Actually, before he loaned it to me, I actually played it at his house. And I was like, wow, this game looks really cool, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I used to not like these kinds of games, but this looks really cool. So he loaned it to me. When he loaned it to me, I could not stop playing it. I mean, I would play it. That would be the only game that I played for weeks. And then I actually finished it. And that made me go back to Dragon Warrior. It made me go back to Final Fantasy.
And retry it again with the kind of habits that you developed as a role-playing gamer.
Yeah, and, you know, I didn't jump at the battle scenes anymore. And I didn't. I thought a lot more strategically. I started to understand equipment and battles and, you know, the way they work. And all that other stuff. And it was really cool. And then I started just expanding. Now my favorite genre is RPGs. And all I really, you know, if I really had the time, I would play other RPGs that I own that I haven't gotten to yet because they're all like 40-hour games, so Wild Arms and...
Or in terms of Xenosaga, 90,000 hours. Mm-hmm.
Xenogears, and then there's Baten Kaitos and Paper Mario.
Did you finally get the Baten Kaitos?
I didn't get the original one.
Oh.
I'm still going to get that from you. As long as you don't get rid of it for any reason.
Oh, I'll never get rid of that.
Okay, good. Yeah. I think I might want to do it like Star Wars play or I can't do it like Star Wars. I'm gonna play Origins first and then play the original. I was gonna say I thought Origins was a sequel.
Right.
All
right,
Tony, what's your one single video game?
I'm surprised that you guys could nail it down like that. You know, like because I have a difficulty with this because there's so many games that made me change what games. First of all, I wanted to play, and, like, I guess I would have to say what started it all. I'd have to go back to Pitfall.
Mm.
That was the game that just started me playing anything, you know? So there's so many examples of games that just changed me one way or another, but this was the gateway drug of games.
The marijuana of games.
What about it? What about it drew you in?
Okay, so you're essentially going against the clock to try to get as much treasure as you can while avoiding pitfalls, you know? But it was just so much more than it was. It to me, it was like the adventure of, you know, of a lifetime. Any game that I've ever seen, you know, just blew it away at the time. Uh-huh. You know, you could say Pac-Man was probably the no, definitely not Pitfall. Pitfall was the shit back then. Okay, so this was 1982, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Any other game before that was just like mediocre, but this one made me a game addict. That was it.
Right. Okay. So those other games were just kind of like, okay, it's like a toy.
They
blah,
were
blah,
like
blah.
Recreation. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. They were like whenever I get the chance, I'll just play those games. Yeah. You know, I'll play Pac-Man. But you know, once you
and then Pitfall comes along, and you're like, holy shit!
I'm dreaming about it. You know, I can't wait to play it. I'm failing school because of it. I mean, just everything that you could possibly
opulent.
Please. Anything that you could possibly have go wrong because of an addiction, that happened. Okay? So it was like, it was just unbelievable at the time that I could actually just, you know, can't wait to pick up a system to play this game. And I got so good at it that my whatchamacallit, my high score was something that was posted on, you know, you send into a newsletter. Okay, mm-hmm, and Activision had like a game club at that time where you get like a patch or something if you send it. And I sent him my high score.
Widow Tony got a widow patch.
I got a patch, and I was featured in their newsletter. Okay, uh-uh. As the highest scoring Pitfall player at that time.
Tony Pagan did the high score.
Yeah, I was just ultra nerd. I played that game to like there was. I always missed one treasure. There was just this one treasure before the game goes back to the beginning, okay? And I always missed that one thing. It was like a silver bar or something. It was like, you know, something low, but that would have gave me the highest score you could possibly get, you know? Aside from, you know, without falling into pits and losing money, without doing this or dying, and you know, that was the highest score I could possibly get, and I missed the treasure. So, there. I guess that's the game that, you know, I have to say influenced me.
Cool.
There are many. But that one started it all.
Did you play the Pitfall remake for Windows 95?
Pitfall's remake for I played. Okay, let me see what I played. Pitfall 2. I played Sega's Pitfall. Remember?
Did
that
you
one?
Play Super Pitfall for Nintendo?
Super Pitfall sucked ass.
Yeah, it did.
It was great animation, but just it sucked. It was not Pitfall at all. It was
still
not Pitfall.
No, it wasn't.
I didn't play the Windows.
Okay, apparently that was like a remake of the original Pitfall.
Okay.
But of course it had like, you know, Windows color graphics and all that stuff. And then
what was it called again?
Pitfall.
Oh, just Pitfall. Okay,
yeah.
Keep going.
And they like included hidden in that game the original Pitfall. But I never got it because of, well, I never played Pitfall ever in my life. I only played
really?
That Super Pitfall piece of crap. And I thought about that, and I was like, wow, I wonder if that would still work on our computers. But I would definitely be interested in like trying to find a way to play the original Pitfall because it sounds like a really cool game from what you're saying.
It was all right. Right. I mean, you know, by today's standards, it's laughable, but
well, that's why I'd have to put on my 1982 mind, the 82 cap.
Time. Yeah, but yeah, that was an awesome game at the time. And the only one that was better than that was Pitfall 2, Lost Caverns on the Atari, because that's the first game ever on Atari that had board game music.
Mm. Now Pitfall, Super Pitfall is not the same as Pitfall the Mayan Adventure.
Is that
what you're referring to?
Right?
Super Pitfall.
Super Pitfall was a Nintendo game that was just called
Super
Pitfall.
Oh, no. He's talking about the one on the Nintendo Entertainment System, which was
yes.
horrible.
Yes.
Horrible. Oh, God. I couldn't play that. I couldn't play it at all. It was horrible. Yeah, no. The Mayan Adventure was the one that had the
yeah, that's the
graphics.
One I'm talking about.
Yeah, the Mayan Adventure. Fantastic graphics, but not Pitfall. Definitely
I
not
see.
Pitfall. Super Pitfall should be in a bag of shit.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right.
We are at the what?
Mailbag at truckgames.net.
Truckgames.net mailbag.
Oh God. Mailbag
at
truckgames.net.
.net. First question from Robot Vampire. That's an awesome.
Okay.
I just started listening recently, and I must say that the podcast is awesome. I'm definitely impressed, definitely spelled with an I, definitely impressed by what you guys have done. My question is, out of you guys, who would you say is the best at games in general? That is a very tough question, especially because the worst one, Ethan, is not here.
Yeah.
Kidding.
Well, we never really competed against each other. I don't know. I mean, I would say Austin has a vast video game experience in his limited amount of time. You know, I've been playing games longer than Austin, but, you know, how many games
you've
got,
you've been pretty much playing since how old are you?
Probably 5.
That's like the better part of like 25 years or so, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, games are like second nature to me. Once I get down, whatever the game is about, I find ways to just break it. You know, whatever they could throw at me, I will definitely be better than that. You know, but we never really competed. Like, I don't know, Austin, what do you think?
It's very tough because the genres, there's so many genres that we all play, and they're so distinct.
Yeah.
Like, I've never played against Ethan in a first-person shooter. I played against Al. Al is a little better than me.
Mm-hmm.
When we played Unreal Tournament.
What about Quake 2?
Okay, so I okay, fine. So we're even then. We're even in first-person shooters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe I'm better now because Al, you haven't played. You don't really play them anymore, right?
No.
Maybe Turok. I don't know, but like,
not
Turok. There you go. Turok, the first game we played, I decimated everyone. Second game we played, Al decimated everyone. So Al and I are peers. Mm-hmm. First-person shooter-wise, but I haven't played against Ethan in, like, a tactical shooter like Rainbow Six or anything, so I don't know. I'm pretty sure Ethan and Al both, and by default you, Tony, would wipe my in real-time strategy games.
Oh, real-time, yeah. First-person shooter? No, he blows.
But, like, in real-time strategy, I just can't do it. I'm dumb. Like, and it's like, I like turn-based because I can sit there and think about it. Real-time, it's like, okay, you got to build order, you got to do this and that, and, you know, go raise that town, and then, like, you know, rape those village women, and then do all that shit. And it's like, I'm just like, wait, whoa, slow down. Let me think about this. Where should I put this? Because I want to play it like SimCity. I want to think carefully about where I put my buildings, and then by the time I put my buildings, Al has, like, a peon rush on me, and I'm done.
Eat talk. Zog zog.
Oh, man.
For the Horde!
Oh, God. Well, I can't play an RTS game against Ethan because he always quits.
Yeah.
Doesn't play anymore.
That sucks.
Yeah, we have two different strategies. I'm all about defense, and he's all about, modest offense that gets decimated by my defense.
Ooh, so, them is fightin's words.
Yeah, so it ends... It pretty much ends in a stalemate, and I call it a stalemate only because I haven't won, okay? But in reality, I've won. He quit.
I'd like to watch this. I'd like to see him defend himself.
Oh, man.
Because between the two of you, like, there are so many fucking lies.
No,
you're such a fucking liar. No, I'm not. No, you're lying. No, asshole, you're lying. Bullshit.
Take this to the bank. This is word of truth, okay? The last game we have played... Okay. Actually, we played Earth 2150. We've played Empire Earth. We've played Command and Conquer. And every single time, it ends the same way. We play for like 4, 5, 6 hours, and you know he quits. That's it. Can't take anymore. And do we pick
That's
up that game
up.
Again? No.
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 Because he's afraid.
That's it. He can't win. So, you know, he knows he can't win. He knows pretty soon I'm going to send something that's going to kill him, and he quits.
Ethan, you can fight back now. You can tell us if he's lying. Oh, no, you can't because your mic broke.
You know what? I should call him, and we'll have a debate over the phone.
You should do that. Al, what are you going to say?
I'm not really competitive anymore just because I used to be really, really good when I was younger, but I was tired of people getting pissed off at me. So I stopped being competitive. I'm serious. Like, in Street Fighter, I used to beat everybody's ass. Mortal Kombat used to beat everybody's ass. And racing games used to beat everybody's ass. And it just wasn't fun winning all the time. So I decided to give people a chance.
The mark of a true athlete. Oh, I'm too good. It's boring now.
I'm not very competitive. I don't give a damn. I just want to have fun. And well, I have fun in losing because some people only have fun in winning.
Well, I don't think
so.
I decided
to let them have fun. It allows me to have fun.
I think the question wasn't so much. But I think the question, maybe not in terms of like, can I beat you in first-person shooters, was also including like just in general, like, you know, even a non-competitive game. Like, I'll say in something like God of War, for example, I would probably hand the torch over to you, Tony.
No, I wouldn't go so far as that. I'm not sure.
Definitely fucking Ghouls and Ghosts.
Oh, please, yeah. the only way we could compare that is clear times, I guess.
Well, not only that, just like how, not just clear time, but like, can you get through the game unscathed? How much do you get hurt? How much do I get hurt? How many times do you die?
Right.
I guess in fighting games, I think we're all pretty evenly matched.
Yeah.
Except for Marvel vs. Capcom 2, for a long time I thought that Al always wiped the floor with me, but he told me that I was wrong. So
yeah, I'm not me versus you in Street Fighter Capcom fighting games. It's not going to work. it's just not going to work because you have a certain skill, a certain speed, a sleight of mind.
Mm-hmm. Sleight of mind?
Yeah.
Sleight of mind.
It's like your mind works faster than mine. Sleep. Not that kind
of sleep. I'm pretty sure when we were playing Street Fighter 3, we were pretty evenly matched.
Well, Street Fighter 3, I think, is a little slower, and I think that's why I can contend a little better. But with Marvel vs. Capcom 1 and 2, it's just like I'll jump, and then next thing you know, my life is halfway down.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, let me switch out. And then I switch out at the wrong time, and then that person's life is halfway down.
Yeah, I think with me and Tony, Marvel vs. Capcom 2, like, I could be wrong, and I'm not trying to be cocky at all.
No.
I'm just saying, from memory, I think I've won the majority of our matches, but they were always really, really close. Always close.
I'm not sure. Did we draw?
We draw sometimes. I think, like, I would say, when I say majority, I mean, like, 55-45.
Oh, okay.
Not a vast majority. Like, I think I've won more, but, like, it's always close.
Yeah.
It's either always close or you beat me.
But then again, I also have to play other fighting games. I mean, like, you know, I went to fucking Marvel vs. Capcom school. So, like, you know, that game I know back and forth. That's why I could take characters that everybody thinks are relatively crappy.
Amingo!
Amingo! Oh, my God.
No, I had this one friend. My one friend Gideon. He was lethal with Amingo.
That's
absolutely
amazing.
Lethal. I'm like, holy shit.
That's amazing. I think the mummy guy is the one of the worst characters, and I could seriously...
Anarchus, Anarachus.
Yeah, Anarachus, or whatever. Anacharis, whatever his name is. He sucked. But I could, like, decimate anybody with that character because he's so cheap. You can't block him, you know? You go and you do this move, and he just grabs you.
I hate cheap!
Yeah, it's cheap. It's cheap. I could just decimate everybody with that character. All I have to do is defend, wait till they're defending, you're done. That's it. It's over.
You know what? I think this begs the question. Are we talking about who's better or who's cheaper? Because I had this one friend. No, I'm seriously. Like, think about it. I had this one friend of mine who, when we play Marvel vs. Capcom 2, all he does is choose Juggernaut as Juggernaut and the Sentinel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
right,
he just.
Right.
Throws waves and waves at you. Mm-hmm. If you give him a character that requires skill,
right?
And when I say skill, I'm being really snobby here. I mean skill. Mm-hmm. I am skilled. He is cheap.
Yeah.
I have skill.
No. I just brought up Anacharis because he is cheap.
Right.
You know, I know how to be cheap with him. But when it comes to the other characters that, you know, most people
you have skill too. I'm talking about my other friend. He's like, oh, I'm just gonna choose Super Akuma and do jumping fireballs all day. I'm like, you know, I'm better than you, right? He's like, no. I'm like, I'm better than you. Pick any other. Let's pick the same character. Let's pick the same slow ass character who sucks, and I will whip your ass. And I hate it when people are like, "I'm good at Marvel vs. Capcom because you know I could pick you know the big guy and just throw spam shit." Like, I swear to God, Tony, if you played against him, you would like bash his head into the TV. You'd be like, "Dude, can you play really like normally?" One thing that I will say that I'm horrible at is shmups, shoot 'em ups.
Oh, okay.
We play Ikaruga. Al can testify to how much I blow up in Ikaruga. And I think I'm pretty good at that game. I got like an S+ in like the first level, and then the rest of the game is downhill.
That's because we only really get practice in the first level. Yeah. I can get an S+ in the first level too, but the second level is like boom, 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 over. Boom.
I got this one friend though who is absolutely amazing at Gradius.
Mm.
It doesn't matter, and I don't think you've met him, but Al, it's Chris. He's not that good at Ikaruga, but that's because he doesn't own the game. If he owned the game and we taught him how to play, he would make it through the game on 3 lives.
Unbelievable.
I have watched Chris play Gradius with the analog stick, no less. On PlayStation.
Chris was like serious.
Gradius 5 on PlayStation with the analog stick. Like we're conversing, and he's like, "Yeah, man. Like I'm doing really shitty this week. This week I died twice when I beat the game." I'm like, "What?" And I was like, "You're bullshitting me." And then I watched him play through like the first 3 levels, and I was just like, "I retire from Gradius."
You know what game? Serious, what game we should play? If we could find it, Life Force.
I have it on PlayStation.
Oh, yeah, that game.
But it's the arcade one.
That's fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got it on PlayStation. Deluxe.
Ooh.
All different kinds of Salamander.
Sounds like a fucking game night's coming soon.
Uh oh.
Oh yeah.
I gotta play.
And then Robot Vampire will answer your question for real. We got a next question from Clyde. Hi, I need some guidance. I've played Final Fantasy 6 through 12. I liked 7, 8, 9, and 10 a lot. I loved Shadow Hearts 1 and 2, which I hear is actually a good series. I want to get into that. Mm-hmm. Chrono Trigger and Chrono Cross, but now I've run out of games I want to play. I mostly look at the story and plot as the most important aspect of the game. So based on that, what other RPGs do you suggest that I try? I emailed this guy back.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, and he says preferably PS1 era and later. And I recommended the Xeno series to him, Xenogears, Xenosaga 1 through 3, because that shit is a chock full of story.
Oh, yeah.
The gameplay to story ratio is like 10 to 1 hours.
Mm-hmm.
An 80 hour game that's like 70 hours of cutscene. But seriously, yeah, I mean, Clyde, I think those games would fit you well. I would say avoid the old school RPGs like the older Final Fantasies because you might not enjoy the plot as much. Because they usually favor gameplay.
Yeah.
I gave him the suggestion of Grandia and Grandia 2, but I haven't played them. I said that because he said Shadow Hearts he liked, which has a cool battle system, so I assume that he might like cool battle system. So what about, do you think Grandia would suit him? How are the stories in those?
I think Grandia would be. He just has to get over the intro. I hear that after the intro, the story is unbelievably awesome. But
okay.
Right
but
now,
the first like hour is kind of eh?
Yeah, for me, like I couldn't pass the first hour because the story was just it didn't pull me in because it was about like kids running around and being kids, and I was
How was the gameplay?
The gameplay is good. It's just that to get to the gameplay, you had to pass that first intro sequence, and it was just like I can't connect with these characters.
I think I quit the same time you did, but not because I didn't like the game, but just because like my attention span. Like I was like, oh, more games, and I started.
Yeah,
playing, but
that's
do want to get
the same thing.
Well, it's not because of, like God, I can't stand this game. Mm-hmm. It was more about like, okay, that was a cool first hour. I found this stupid cat. I'm gonna play this tomorrow, and then tomorrow came, and I was like, look, I bought Silent Hill, and then I played. You know what I mean? So
right. Yeah, yeah.
It
for
just,
me, it was
it
just
got
like,
lost in the shuffle, basically.
Mm-hmm. For me, it was just like. I've heard so many good things about what's gonna happen later, but
right. I don't
right
sit
now,
it.
No, it's not. I don't wanna. It's just that I had better things to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, one day I will get
right.
to it.
Right. Grandia 3, maybe, but I've heard the story is kind of shit. So proceed with caution on that one. Story and plot. Vagrant story.
Yeah, but no. The gameplay will really get in the way if he's looking for story and plot.
Okay.
Vagrant story.
definitely not Dragon Quest because that, like... I think that would be too old school for him.
Yeah. Too much grinding to get to the story. Yeah.
What do you think about Wild Arms?
I was
Wild
gonna
Arms.
Say
that's
Wild
a good,
Arms.
That's a good question.
But I don't really remember the story. It's not too memorable for me. I only played the first one, and the first one was really long.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I would say if you can, you know, get it for really cheap. I mean, if you can find it,
if
definitely go
it.
For it.
If you can find it, yeah.
I recommended on my email to him Valkyrie Profile, but upon rereading his question and his emphasis on plot, I got to retract that. I still think you should try it, but like if you're looking for a plot and story, Valkyrie Profile is it's kind of everywhere. It's like it's all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's mostly about the gameplay and character development. So you might want to avoid that one. So ignore my suggestion. you should give. I don't know about Baten Kaitos. He said PlayStation. So
Oh well, PlayStation and later.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, but I think he said he only has really a PS2.
Oh.
I could be wrong though.
If he had Wii.
Well, I've got a good one.
Yeah.
A really, really good one.
Uh-huh.
A whole series, Suikoden.
Ooh, yes, Suikoden. Check that out. They have I think the PlayStation 1 games are supposed to be far better than the PS2 games, but regardless, just
one and two are excellent games. Three kind of detaches from the story because basically one and two take place right after each other. Uh-huh. And the third one takes place right after two, but the characters don't come back as much. Like you basically take the role of the son of this one girl who was a bad guy in at the end of part two, and then she converts.
Mm. Right.
Got another one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, if he could find it, I doubt he'll ever find these. But Lunar 1 and 2.
Ah.
Oh yes. Okay. So Star Story Complete.
Yeah, yeah, and one more I was thinking of was fucking A, I had it in the back of my head. Shit. Oh yes, that's right. If you happen to have an Xbox, which I don't think you do, but if you do, Knights of the Old Republic, Star Wars.
Yeah.
From many people, I've heard that not only is that an incredible RPG, but it's the best Star Wars games ever made.
Yeah.
And if you're a Star Wars fan and you like the story and all the mythos behind it, that might be a good choice. I just started playing it myself. I'm in, like, the first 20 minutes, so I can't pass judgment yet. But from everything that I hear, it's really good.
Yeah, I played for quite a few hours in that game, and I can definitely attest to its quality. I'm just, like, totally lost in it now, so I probably have to start over.
I will say, Clyde, though, that it sounds like you're a fan more of the Japanese style of RPG, and Knights of the Old Republic is more westernized. It's more based on Dungeons and Dragons. It's kind of different, so you might not like it. But if you have an Xbox, give it a Gamefly, give it a rent.
Oh, and one more. You might want to consider Atelier Iris.
Ah, yes, that's right. I'm looking at number two on my shelf right now. I should have. But is that more like old school gameplay, or is it actually like story length driven?
I think it's story driven with the old school gameplay. But there's a lot of customization with the alchemy and stuff like that. But I heard that it was a good story.
Okay. All right. Cool. Should we move on to the next question? I can't pronounce his username. So, THFM squared, and the E is a 3. Sony is known for their crazy commercials, and they've done it again with their This Is Living ad. If you haven't seen it yet, here's a link to the uncut version of this crazy-ass commercial. And this is on Kotaku. You can,
I didn't see this yet.
Oh, my goodness. It's like, really long, and it's really inane. What country did they put this thing out in?
Some Europe shit. But
it had to be European.
It includes nudity, bathroom, jerking off in front of a soccer game.
Are you serious? Yeah. What the fuck?
While massaging a soccer ball with the other hand.
And I can see where they were trying to go with this because like they show people throwing grenades and like and playing sports and stuff like that, and they're trying to say that like this is your life. You know, PlayStation 3 is so realistic and so like such a lifestyle that, you know, oh yeah, you'll be running around throwing grenades. So I get the message, but it just like the execution is, I swear to God, they're on some kind of, like, methamphetamine or something like
that. Anything to sell a product.
Tony, watch this after the podcast. Just watch it, and, like, I guarantee you'll send us an email like, what the fuck is this?
I'm actually watching it now, and so far I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, it's like a Roach Motel. Those who check in, don't check out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly so, like that, Al.
So, Thifum squared, they're on drugs. Next question from Riven. If you guys do end up talking about the one video game that we feel had the greatest impact on us as fans of video games, I'm going to take the easy way out and ask you guys, what was the one video game you feel that had the most negative impact on... What did you just see?
No, I'm laughing at the question because that's like bag of shit times 10.
Yeah.
You know,
basically.
Thousands.
It almost made you quit gaming as a hobby for good. If picking a single game is too hard, maybe just focus on a single moment or event that almost made you quit gaming. I'm saying this just because reading back over my question, I'm hard-pressed to come up with a decent answer myself, even though I know that an answer does exist. I gotta cop out and say that there hasn't been one. And not only because it's hard for me to think of one,
you
but also
liar.
Because like, also because like there is no one game or one moment that made me think that the rest of my gaming experience is shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
One game sucks. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll go into the games that I do like, and there are so many of them, and there's a lot of games that I would gladly revisit that are good. So even if from today on, all games were complete crap,
mm-hmm.
I would just play my old games, and I'd be happy, you know? Like, I would still play. I wouldn't be like, I give up this hobby forever, you know?
Yep.
What about you guys? Do you guys have any?
That made me want to quit? No. No, no. Not, never. I mean, but let's just look at this objectively. There was a game, and I mentioned it last week, that really, really, really pissed me off. And I only played it because I was poor. And I spent $50 on it. It was Adventures of BioBilly.
Right.
And I was very, 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 very upset. I did cry. The game sucked so bad if I did get $50 again, I would not buy another game after that game. Because that was a huge waste of money. And money was very tight for us back then.
Yeah.
You know, so that actually prevented me from buying any other game. I was a renter, not an owner. That's it. You know?
That is pretty impactful. Mm-hmm. Until later when good games started coming out.
Until later when I got a job and fucking could buy right. anything I want. It was like, you know, back then, I was in, I was in junior high school, you know?
Right,
so,
right.
like, you don't, you know, I don't have $50. I don't have a liquid asset or anything else like that. Right. $50 is a huge amount of money. And I got it for my birthday. And that sucked.
How'd you like that BioBilly music I put in there for you?
Oh, that was great. I was that made me cry. I was like, no, he didn't. That sucked so much.
The Adventures of BioBilly.
Oh, God, what a shitty game. Oh, what a fucking horrible game. And trust me, I've played many horrible games, but that one, yeah.
What about you, Al?
Being that I play bad games just to say I finished them, I don't have any games that nothing would make me stop playing games. I mean, the only thing that, like, a life event that would, or an event that would make me stop playing games would have to be something not related to games.
Mm-hmm. Like a life event, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, for example, the bag of shit games that I've played, I actually have played for most of completion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Roger Rabbit, I got up to Judge Doom.
Yeah.
And what's his face? Sword Vermillion. I actually got halfway through the game, and I mean, if I actually kind of thought, I actually thought about downloading it onto Virtual Console.
Don't do it.
Because
no,
I was
don't
like,
spend money on
no,
it.
No, listen, I won't. But I thought about it, thinking, okay, well, I can play it on the Wii controller the Wii controller, and actually like suspend the game and things like that, and actually kind of. You know, try and beat the game and say, all
right,
I finished this shitty game. But, you know, I can't say that there's any one game that had a very negative impact on me. Only because there's just really, you know, nothing's negative to me when it comes to video games. I mean, I can say a game is shitty, but it's still fun to rag on it and things like that.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Right. So, there's nothing that has been pure pain for me. Not even Final Fantasy XI. That was a very frustrating game, but it was not pain. It was fun, to a point.
To a point. Oh, man. Next question. It's a comment from Riven, actually. I made a mistake last week. First, I just need to correct a major mistake you made.
Major.
Shut up!
Major.
Not major on your part, but something I can't have people thinking about me. The R Colony Ant logo has nothing to do with Halo. Fuck Halo. It was specifically meant for the 360 itself. He's right. I said that the R Colony Ant marketing thingy was a Halo thing, but it's actually just strictly Xbox 360 thing.
Shame on you.
Not that it makes my having the tattoo any better, but while I love the 360, I am not a Halo fanboy, fanatic, or what have you. That's good. Also, I apologize for my question about what movies you guys like. I did remember after sending the question that you answered in your anniversary episode, but I was at work when I typed it, and you were already recording at that point, so I just figured you'd ignore my question. You know what? Thinking back, I think we talked about the movies we like, but I don't think we actually said what our favorite movie was explicitly, like, I know I did mention Traffic as my favorite, but I don't think anyone else did.
I think, yeah, I mentioned, like, I like the dramas, like, Glengarry Glen Ross.
No, but, like, a favorite movie, I think he was, like, a specific one, that's what
a
I was
favorite
saying.
Movie of all time? Moulin Rouge.
Maybe. Moulin Rouge. Al?
Shoot. I don't know.
Dirty Work!
No. I mean, there's so many movies that I could watch over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. I really can't say.
What? Yeah. No more. I'm wrong. One more comment. From Evil Tab, AKA Mountain Thunder Dude. I know. This is an understatement coming up. I know I've sent in a lot of strange emails or comments, but this time I'm gonna speak with some fucking heart. Mm. Austin, I've been up a lot of sleepless nights, woken up from nightmares from all the way back to the Guitar Hero 2 tourney that Slunks hosted. I want a rematch, sir. I'm calling you out in your own podcast. 201 points, oh lord.
Ooh.
For those who don't remember, I beat him by a combined total of 201 points. In a game where you routinely score 250,000 points on a song, basically what Slunks did, we played three songs and we combined the score. And my combined score was 201 points higher than his combined score.
That's crazy.
Which is literally like four notes.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened, but whatever. Sure, we'll rematch, but no Psycho Billy Freakout, because I can't play that one.
It's a Psycho Billy Freakout.
Psycho Billy! I think that's it for the questions, unless we have stragglers. Let me check the mailbag again.
Spam!
Yeah, it's probably spam. Hey, we haven't done a spam
report
last time
in a long time.
Yeah, we didn't do a crazy spam report like a Cialis spam.
Oh, what did we do last time?
The one with the person who downloaded the game and had problems.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. shit, no spam. But let me see if I left a spam in here just for fun. I'll go to the spam inbox. We'll just pull this one out. Pablo Wagner says, "Everything okay to us all." Save up to 80%, lowest price guarantee. Okay, so this is a drug one. More spam. No, all the spam is the same. Anyway, Tony just dropped off. He's pulling an Ethan on us, so we're going to end this here. Housekeeping. Housekeeping first. Pirates vs. Ninjas. No one has entered since the other two last week, so don't be assholes. Enter. You want money. We know it.
Mm-hmm.
You want t-shirts. We know it.
Clap your hands.
Don't forget to listen to the Game Slaves radio podcast on gameslaves.net. I got it right this time because when he plugs us now, he puts in a snippet of the podcast. He puts in our theme song, and then he puts in the intro that I did for the episode that we did with Adrian. When I go, "This is episode 46. Oh shit, that was terrible. And Tony laughs at me. And then he cuts right to the, "And don't forget to listen to gameslavesradio.net. And then you're like, "No, it's gameslaves.net. And I'm like, "What did I say? I meant just Game Slaves Radio." He's like, no, and the website. So that's his plug for us. So I'm getting it right, bitch. Game Slaves Radio from gameslaves.net. Happy now, jerk. And don't forget to listen to the Gamers Lounge podcast. Another GameSpot community member podcast. That's about it for housekeeping. For Tony, who's useless and gone. For Ethan, who's useless and gone.
Mm-hmm.
For Al.
I'm here, and I'm good.
Yeah, I have been your host, Chuparito, and we done.
That's right, bitch. That's right, bitch.
Shit, I'm trying to think of a stupid intro. Help me think of a really stupid intro.
Shoot.
This is going well.
Spot here.
That's our intro, goddammit!